This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
My dad's not here right now. He's still at work. So I'm going to bless him.
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I'm going to see if there's a clean version so then my parents and the people at my school will not get mad at me. We've got the spritzer filled with water. Just in case if stuff gets too fire, I'm going to set up the speaker and I'm going to listen to
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
I think this is the best
Mike Shope
feature that I've heard in a long time. I think his flow is really good on it and I like his aggressiveness on it. And
the Bulldog
put not enough effort in it. I think overall his flow was good, but I don't like that mumble rapping. That was my review of
Mike Shope and the Bulldog.
Didn't need the spritzer. Wasn't fire enough. No spritzer for you. No spritzer.
All right. We are downtown. I am downtown. There's people here. I'm at 716. The Sabres play Florida tonight, but it's just me. Sneaky Joe's back there. He just got done with 3 hours doing the show with his brother. Mike has the day off again today. I will have lots of company as the afternoon goes on, but for now it's really just me. I did something today, Joe. Do you remember late yesterday, maybe it was like the beginning of the 6 o'clock hour, I talked about how nice a day it was and seeing the guys on their Harleys?
Yes, yes.
And just being sort of envious of that, and then I made the point about the boat.
Yes, I recall this conversation.
I made the point about the boat. I said, you know, it's been nice all week, and I've got, you know, mornings, early afternoon, even really free, but I'm not so used to owning a share of a boat that I get up on a nice day and go, I should go on the boat, because like when I had a motorcycle on a day like yesterday, it was very easy to get up and go, okay, I got to go ride for like 3 hours today because it might be the last nice day. I'm not there on boat ownership yet. I'm not that boaty yet. So like I missed an opportunity yesterday. Today, as good fortune would have it, Jeremy White from our morning show, who we co-own the boat with it, we split it. He and I, his wife and my wife, our families are splitting this boat. And so he texted me pretty early this morning. I was at the gym, humble brag. I was at the gym today at the gym. I was at the gym, and Jeremy texted me and said, I'm planning to go get the trailer. The trailer was up at our cottage in Canada. And I'm going to get the trailer, and I'm going to get the boat out of the water. And Jeremy, being like such a really good guy, I'd like to think I would be this way, but you know, you never know. He didn't ask me to come with him. He texted me and told me, "Here's my plan. I'm going to get the trailer, and I'm going to go get the boat out of the water, and like that's that." There was no request for assistance, but I felt like, well, you know, I'm just here on a stationary bike. I think I can probably do this. I don't, you know, I'm pretty fond of my nap after I go to the gym, but I think I can make an exception. I can get by without the nap. So I told him, hey, you know, I'm up for that. I'll ride shotgun with you. We'll go do that. So we went, got the trailer, came back, went to the marina where the boat is kept in a slip, and we had a little bit of difficulty. The battery was dead, and our battery charger jumper thing was sort of not up. It was also not at full power, so we could not get the motor started. So the people at the marina were going to tow us, which I think would have been the saddest end to a boating season you could possibly have. We're at the marina. The launch for the marina, where you put the boat on and off the trailer. See, I'm so unboaty that I'm assuming, like, that people wouldn't know what the launch is, but they probably, most people probably do. Anyway,
yeah.
Like we're like 50 yards from the launch, and a guy, you know, one of the people at the marina, one of the attendants at the marina, said, "Well, we'll give you a tow." Like, so we're sitting in the boat, and the bilge is running because there was a ton of water in the bilge, and we're sitting there, and I'm just thinking, this is just so depressing. this guy is going to come over in a little dinghy with a motor and over to the launch, and that's going to be the end of the boating season. Like, this is just depressing. That's so sad, you know? And as it turned out, the guy with the little dinghy couldn't get his boat going. That guy couldn't figure out how to start that boat. So he came over and said, I got to wait for Bill or whoever. That's his boat, and he'll figure out how to get it. So I can't figure out how to start the motor. And, he looked, and we still had our battery charger hooked up to the battery of our boat. And he said, "So is it your starter?" And we said, "No, we think it's the battery. It's been sitting here for a month. No one has had an opportunity to use it." And he says, "Well, if your charger kit there isn't all the way up to snuff, we got one. So why don't we try that?" So they do that. They hook up another another jump, and the boat starts. And so the person who brought the battery charger, the second battery charger, over to us said, "Boy, it's pretty nice out." And so Chair looks at me. He's like, "This is like 12:30. He says, "What do you think?" I'm like, "Well, I like to get to 716 by about 2:15 or so. So you know, I got time." So we went for a spin. So I got that Harley last ride boat moment today. We went out, just, you know, we didn't, barely went outside the break wall. We just took a quick spin, just to, you know, whatever, feel the wind in our hair, or I don't know, what do boat, see, I'm not that boaty. What do boat people say?
The wind
say?
In my sails.
The wind in my sails.
That's got to be it. That has to be.
But it's a motorboat. It's not a, there's no sails.
But you'd still say, I think you'd still say it.
Just get to feel the sea air. I mean, it's a lake. There's no salt. It's just, anyway, we took a quick spin around. It was really nice. The lake, Joe, you know, I think I told you, twice this summer, I took the boat from the marina across to Canada.
Yes, and one of them was really windy, right?
Yeah, well, the first one was bad, and it took a while. The second time was even worse. Like, dude, I smashed on a wave. So, wow, I just said, "Dude, I smashed on a wave." Maybe I'm more boaty than I think. Or surfer, I don't know. I smashed so hard on coming down off a wave that there's a GPS depth finder, fish finder unit that is mounted. It's like a solid plastic. It's like what a computer terminal, computer screen monitor looks like, except, you know, just smaller. You know, it's a GPS. But it's like a solid plastic casing that is mounted to the dashboard of the boat, right? I hit so hard on the coming off of this wave that thing snapped in half. Like, the mounting to the GPS unit broke. Just, that was how I was sitting in the middle of the lake, and it didn't seem like it was that bad out, but I just ran into something or what. Because when I started out, it was like I was cruising. I'm like, "This is fine. This is going to be great." And suddenly it got wavy, and then it just got really bad, and I wasn't prepared for it. And I smashed, and the thing broke, and I'm sitting there. I hurt my back. It hurts so bad. I'm sitting there. I'm probably not even halfway across to Canada at this point. And, you know, waves are rolling. I shut the boat down. I mean, I stopped. I didn't turn the motor off, but I shut it down. And I'm just sitting there, and I thought, I could just cry. I just want to cry. I'm in the middle of the lake. Like, I'm in, my back is killing me. The thing is broken. I'm not even halfway to where I'm going. Oh my God. Anyway, so I puttered across because I could not take the, well, I sound like such a baby right now. I could not take the force of any more waves. Like, you know, when you're on a boat, and you're bopping, there's some weight. I could not take any of that at all on my back. It hurt so bad from when I smashed and the thing broke. Today, I'm out there, you know, the end of the year, we're taking the boat out of the water, which we ended up doing after we took this little spin around, and I'm looking at the lake going, I really could have used this back in August. This would have been pretty ideal. Anyway, it's beautiful, and lots of people were puttering around the marina. It was funny, there was even a guy, we were taking the boat out of the water, and as we were coming up to the launch, there was another boat there, and we're slowly coming up to the launch, and I'm thinking, oh, there's a guy taking his boat out of the water. No, he was putting it in. He was just going out. It was so nice out. Right. I was like, I'm going out on the lake. It's beautiful out. It's October, but I'm going and squeezing it in. So I'm glad I got that experience. I feel like next year I'll be more of a boat person because I had this one last blast in October.
It's like a tune-up kind of for next season.
Just like a, yeah, I don't know. I think you know it's fall and it's not boating season, but we went out because it was a really nice day, and I felt like I earned some cred as a boater
some
by going out on a boat today.
All right.
Even though it wasn't challenging, I mean, I guess I probably got some cred by going across the lake when it was insane those two times in the summer. Maybe that's what I'm searching for here, is people to applaud my courage in going on a harrowing voyage across the lake. It was probably ill-advised, but whatever. It all ended well. So anyway, how's everybody doing? How'd your show with Lewis go today?
It's safe. I like it. It went well. I mean, we got a little heated in the last hour on something that I never thought would ever come up. But although it went pretty well. Yeah, a little Minshew Mariota debate. I don't know how that started, but we got into it.
Minshew Mariota debate? How do you even engage in a Minshew Mariota debate?
In passing, I think I said, in saying Mariota is essentially shot. Like, I'd rather, right now, I'd rather have Minshew as my quarterback than Mariota, and he took offense for that.
Oh, yeah?
And that's kind of how it started. Right, he's a big Mariota guy. I don't know how you can be anymore, but there's just one left at least, I guess.
Yeah, I think he's shot.
Same.
I mean, I don't know what Minshew is going to turn into, and I'm sure you don't either.
Right.
Or think you know, but at least you don't know yet.
And it's going
about
as
well. And I think on Mariota, you know, right?
Yeah,
you're
exactly.
It's like, okay, I'm done.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's very much how I feel about him. I mean, I said as much last week, and the game against the Bills certainly didn't do anything to dissuade me from that opinion. I was hoping today, I've got the usual hockey stuff for you today, although Paul won't be on until 5 o'clock, and I'll tell you why in a second. So we've got time from now until 4 when Rob Ray shows up here at 716 to make, you know, to turn some trade ideas over here. I think people are still ready to have that conversation, and that's kind of what I'm thinking about. As it pertains to the Bills, I mean, the Sabres, I guess, too. we can get to that. But here's the layout today. Rob Ray at 4. At 4:30, Chris Trapasso from CBS Sports. Right, Joe?
Yes.
Okay. So that's happening at 4:30. Then Paul is going to be here at 5 to hang out with me for an hour, and during that hour at 5:30, Sabres general manager Jason Bottrell is going to stop by for his, it basically ends up being like twice a month or so that we get to see him and talk to him on this show at home games when we're at 716. So that's why Paul's not going to be on in his usual game day home game spot at 3:30, because we're going to wait and hold off and have Paul for an hour while and have him sit in while Jason Bottrell's here. So the point is, we've got time here for about 45 minutes to talk about trade ideas for the Bills. If you are up for that, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. What do you think they need, and is it time for them to do something? Like, are they good enough that they warrant selling off something for the future? And that something varies depending on, you know, what you want to go shopping for. If you want to go shopping for Von Miller, it probably costs a lot. If you want to go shopping for Trent Williams, I think it probably costs a lot. Stephon Diggs, similar. Probably a pretty big price tag. I think any of those three ideas, you're talking about at least a first-round pick, and maybe like Von Miller, probably multiple high picks, first-round picks. AJ Green, and I know the coach said they're not trading him. You know, whatever. I don't look. I don't sweat that. I think it makes sense for them organizationally to trade him, you know, unless they are, by saying that, saying we intend to sign him to a big, huge contract extension sometime before he becomes a free agent and can leave, or if he just does not ever want to leave the Bengals, which, you know, is possible. Like, it's hard for me to fathom someone never wanting to leave the Bengals, but, you know, he might feel like I want to just stay in one spot. That's probably the lowest cost acquisition, if you know, if you can, you know, swing it, like if he's available, if you can, if the Bengals are up for making that trade, I don't think he has to cost much more than, you know, like maybe a second round pick is the ceiling on what you should have to spend to acquire him. I don't think I would spend anything more than that, given that he's 32, has a bad ankle injury right now. He's almost recovered, but still, he's been out since the summer with an ankle injury, and his contract is expiring. You know, Diggs is going to cost you more, but he's 25 and under contract for, I think it's four more seasons after this. If it's not four, it's three. So there's, and it's, you know, it's a reasonably big cap number, but it's not, it's crazy. And he's definitely an upgrade. Just a matter of trying to decide whether that makes sense. The Diggs idea for me is the easiest one to talk me into, because I think the Bills are in a position here where they're still not where I think they need to be as far as receivers go on the team. And Diggs is someone who, if you have to spend a first-round pick on him, he's young enough that you're still going to get peak years, like the best years of his career, you know, ideally, out of him. Like, he's nowhere near the end anyway. He's really like maybe smack dab in the middle of his prime at 25 years old. So I'm going to get good years, and I'll be spending an asset that I would probably gladly use. I would encourage the Bills to use a first-round pick on a receiver next year, probably. And so if I spend it on a 25-year-old receiver that I already know is at a certain level, like he's not on the very top tier of receivers in the league, but I think he's right in the, maybe the second group below the very best guys. That's something the Bills don't have. And at his age, I think you could live with giving up that pick. That's my view. I obviously have no idea how the Bills feel about that at this point. But that's I still think that is the best idea, because it's a big addition. It addresses a shortcoming on the team. It costs a lot, but I think I can justify the cost by what I may end up doing with the asset I'm giving up anyways. You know, like I'm getting something. I've got some certainty as to how good the guy is, whereas I draft a receiver next year at, you know, where are the Bills going to draft? They win 10, 11 games. They're going to be drafting in the 20s. So I draft a receiver there, and I, you know what? I hope he becomes Stephon Diggs in a year or two. And this guy I draft is already 21 or 22, and Diggs is only a couple of years older than that, and he's already a known commodity. Like, that makes sense to me. So that's my favorite idea, I think, of all these. Second would be A.J. Green, if the cost were reasonable, and I think it should be. Otherwise, I don't think I would even go near it. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Those are the numbers. Let's fire it up. Rob is first up this segment. Hi, Rob. Thanks for calling. You're on WGR.
Hey, how you doing, Bulldog? Thanks. For
good, man.
Appreciate it. Good. Listen, you kind of stole all my thunder. You literally said everything I was getting ready to say. So,
wow, man, I'm really sorry. I work here. They pay me and everything.
Yeah, enjoy yourself at 716. I just wanted to say that the reason I called was I think because of the fact that he's so young, plus the fact that we can't guarantee that the draft pick, just like you just said, 27, 24 overall, is going to be Stephon Diggs right away. I think that because you know the known commodity point that you made, I just think it's something you got to look for. If it was worth it to the Bills when we were whatever position we were in a couple of years ago when we made the playoffs to get Kevin Benjamin for half the year, this guy's cost control, he's under contract. I just think it makes all the sense in the world. So I'm really hoping that something maybe happens before Sunday, and if not, then obviously maybe after Sunday. But I'd love to make that move because I just think it makes, like you said, all the sense in the world.
All right, Rob, appreciate the call. Yeah, there is there's time. The deadline, the trade deadline, I think anyway. Joe, am I mistaken? I think the trade deadline is not for a couple of weeks still. Rob's mentioning Sunday.
It's not. I think it's at least the week after. October 29th. We got to.
Yeah, right. That's what I thought. I thought I saw something close to Halloween. So, okay. I'm not sure why Rob even put a time frame on it. There's time for this conversation. I'm having it now because, well, you know, we don't have a Bills game this week, so it's a step back, take stock sort of vibe that I'm feeling on the Bills at 4-1. You know, I don't think they have to do something. Like, there's not, to me, great urgency to do something because I'm not sure what it will mean to Josh Allen to have another receiver like that. Like, I'm not sure how ready to utilize someone like that he is at this point. But I'd like to find out. And I mean, at some point, I'm going to go in on a receiver, be it in the draft or this way. So I guess I can favor, you know, doing it this way. But, you know, there's no knowing sitting here whether Stephon Diggs is someone that they would want to bring in and build around and have be here to be Josh Allen's number one receiver. Because if you're acquiring him, then that's what you're doing. He's going to be your guy for a while. I mean, 25 years old. The cap hit is $15 million for, it's 14 and a half next year, 15 the next 2 years after that, and then 12 in 2023. So, like, you're committing, right? And, you know, there's pluses and minuses to that. The plus is you've got some certainty and the guy's young enough that you can bring him in and have him and count on him. And, like, that's, you know, that's awesome. A guy like A.J. Green is just a rental and, like, you're sort of trying the idea on organizationally. And maybe you like it enough that you do want to keep him around, but that's risky at his age, I think. So that there's less, there's less strings attached to that. I guess I'm just saying, like, if Diggs were to come and it doesn't work for some reason, he doesn't fit in, he's not the right, you know, culture fit or something, you're kind of strapped a little bit there, whereas someone you're just bringing in on an expiring contract is just, okay, well, that didn't work out, well, whatever, fine. You know, I didn't pay a lot. Here, we're done with you. See you later. It's a little, there's less risk there, I think, ultimately. And, you know, that's why you pay less. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Those are the numbers. Lines are available. We'll spin this around for, like I said, for a while. Rob Ray will be here at 4. We'll get back to football at 4:30 with Chris Trapasso. 5 o'clock, we'll be solidly into hockey. Sabres and Panthers tonight. Pregame rolls at 6. We'll talk with Jason Botterill tonight before that while Paul Hamilton is here. And it's all happening on a beautiful, sunny fall Friday downtown. I am at 716. Mike Schoep has the day off. I am the Bulldog, and this is WG.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I think, he's going to be playing this week, so hopefully you'll tune in to the Saints game. But I think you got to balance what's good for the team with what the individual maybe wishes might be. And I think we'll be able to kind of formulate here. I met him a couple of days ago, had a heart-to-heart, and I think we'll be able to come to whatever makes sense for all.
That is Jacksonville Jaguars owner Shad Khan. Talking about, I don't know, troubled. Is troubled right, Joe? I don't know, whatever.
Yeah, troubled.
Troubled. Talking about cornerback Jalen Ramsey. I think he said he feels good about, like, he talked to him and they're not going to trade him, and we feel like he's still going to, you know, all that. Right? He's feeling positive about it. And then we talked to John Clayton about it yesterday, and that's the vibe he had too. I don't know, maybe those comments had already been made publicly when we talked with John yesterday evening. But I asked John, like, do you think they can trust him? Like, do you think he's going to get on the field and play for them? And just today, I've not seen a lot today because, you know, I was boating, but. On the bottom line, when I got here today, I thought I saw his back acted up again, and he may not play on Sunday. So, I mean, good luck, Jaguars. Like, I don't know if you can count on that, you know. So, you know, I also don't know if someone's going to give up. They're thought to be asking for 2 first round picks. That seems kind of crazy. Although, I mean, he's great and he's young. So, whatever I'm saying about, you know. Diggs or even Von Miller. Von Miller's older. Von Miller's 30. Guys that are that good, you know, there might be a premium on the cost to acquire them. I don't know. I guess I still think that they should trade him, because I just have a feeling he eventually is going to push harder. I think it seems to me, my guess would be he wants to get out of there. And at some point, whether he'll go complete scorched earth insanity like Antonio Brown did, I mean, I don't know. Only, you know, guys that are willing to go that far may be rare still. But I just think he'll make life very difficult for the Jaguars if they don't move on from him, which is tough. I mean, you don't want to be in a position as an organization where you feel like you have to trade away an excellent young player. But if it somehow or another gets to be that level of a headache, I mean, I don't know what else you do, you know? I don't know that they should trust that he's really hurt at this point. I feel like he's playing them. That's my read from way out here. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. I mean, that's an idea we've talked about too. Mike and I disagreed on the idea of, you know, going after a player like that. Like, I don't think there's much need from the Bills' end for another corner. I think they're in really good shape. It's not something I would really think about going shopping for myself. Mike is next up on WGR. Hi, Mike. Thanks for calling. You are on the air, man.
How you doing, Chris?
I'm great. Thanks for calling.
Okay. Here's my take. I think that Trent Williams is the guy we should go after. I think Trent Williams makes us a legitimate contender, not just playoffs, a legitimate contender, because he'll be on the backside of Allen. He'll give Allen a little bit more time. Allen is, he hasn't been sacked a ton. He's moving around a lot in the pocket because he's getting a lot of pressure put on him. So if you put Trent Williams on the left, okay, then you can move Dawkins either to the guard or you can move him to the right side. And now you got a real strong offensive line. An offensive line that, I mean, we're good at run blocking, but our pass blocking is still a little bit suspect. And I think that Trent Williams can help with that.
Mm-hmm.
And quick comment is we should also, if we can find reasonably a pass rusher, someone that can actually get to the quarterback. Our defense is phenomenal, but if we had a pass rusher that could get to the quarterback, my God, they wouldn't be able to complete a pass.
Right. I know. I hear that. Thanks, Mike. That's why, you know, I mentioned, Von Miller. I don't know if Denver's going to trade Von Miller, but that's, I mean, that there it is. I mean, that's elite. And that is probably, of all the ideas that we've talked about, probably he and Ramsey are the two that would cost the most to trade for, I think. The Trent Williams idea has come up a couple of times already the last couple of days, and at the risk of sounding like a broken record about it, it's not an idea that I can really get behind. I mean, I like how you laid that out, and you also go a little like a step farther than most people who brought it up to me or us in suggesting that you can shore up the right side if you move Dawkins over there, because the right side is still like that is not, they're not in great shape over there. What I've been telling people that have called with the Trent Williams idea is that I think Deion Dawkins is good, and I think he's playing his best football right now for the Bills, and so I don't think that I'm getting a huge upgrade by going and bringing Trent Williams in. Like he's a bigger name and a decorated player, and I know to say that Deion Dawkins is his equal, it would be laughable. So I'm being careful to not say that. But Dawkins, I think, is good. And I don't think I need to trade for a guy that makes me a little bit better than Dawkins, which I think is about all I'd be doing. Now, moving Dawkins to the right to shore that side up is a little more intriguing, but I'm not sure how easy that is. You know, there's a lot of footwork involved there, and I wouldn't just assume that Dawkins, here we are, like 5 weeks into the season, could just slide over to the right side and start playing right tackle when he's been playing left tackle his 3 years in the NFL. Like that might be a lot to bite off. So I'm not sure that would be a solution to what currently is not a great situation at right tackle. And I say it's not a great situation at right tackle because Nsekhe has had health problems, and I'm not sure that he is someone that they can count on down in and down out, which is why there's a rotation currently with Cody Ford, who is a second-round pick and does not, at this point, really look up to playing right tackle in the NFL. He is regularly getting beat by speed guys on the outside, and like there's a problem there. So they don't have a great situation over there because of Nsekhe's age and health, and Ford's, you know, inability to really handle the job. So if I knew that I could get an upgrade by moving Dawkins over there and like that would work, then that's the closest I could get to liking this idea. But it's not to me an area of enough weakness to pay what it's going to cost to acquire Trent Williams and then pay his contract on top of that. I don't know. I don't think it's enough of a need is how I would put it. Mostly because of, I think, what I'll be paying the player and how good Dawkins is already. That's where I'm at on that. I like thinking about it, though. And if someone who really knows could tell me that Dawkins could step in and play right tackle and that the footwork wouldn't be an issue, and flipping from one side to the other, that I would get the performance I'm getting from him currently at left tackle, at right tackle, that would get my attention. That would make it a better idea. But I don't know that that's that easy a thing to pull off. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. Those are the phone numbers. I don't know. Like, Joe, have people been calling you with Trent Williams?
Not really. Not like once or twice.
Yeah. It's like the third day in a row it's come up on our show.
I would say of the big names that are out there right now, it's interesting to me that he's brought up more than like a Jalen Ramsey. And I wonder if that's more so because, you know, we kind of already talked about Ramsey like a month ago or however long ago that started.
Yeah.
And there's beef between him and Josh Allen from last year. And it's like he's not really a fan favorite. And I wonder if that contributes to it because I know Levi Wallace is really good and I know Deion Dawkins is really good, but I don't know, like Ramsey even to me is a better idea than a guy like Trent Williams because of his age. And you don't hear a lot about him, but yet we hear a lot about Trent Williams, even though that's kind of, to me, the same situation. It's, okay, do I have a franchise player at that position? Maybe, maybe not, but I still want this guy. And to me, that's kind of the same story at cornerback, maybe to a lesser extent, but either one of those guys, I'm interested that Williams is being brought up because I think they're fine. Like,
yeah,
I don't see why you need to do that.
I think what I've read is that Dawkins is grading out very favorably at this point. And that's not like from like the Bills website or something. I mean, I'm just like independently, like what I've seen is that Dawkins is playing very well. Maybe the best he's played after a rough second year that he's on top of it. So like that's a young guy that I've got still a couple of years of, well, at least another year. Because he's a second-round pick, so next year is his fourth year. Like another year at a really nice contract. You know, eventually I'm going to have to pay him. I just don't know that I need to spend assets on Trent Williams and then pay him $12 million next year.
Right.
His cap hit is 14.7
right.
next year.
And what am I projecting out my tackles to be? Like, if you're trading for Trent Williams and you're sticking him on the left and Deion Dawkins on the right, am I giving up on Cody Ford as a right tackle in the NFL? Because I spent a second-round pick on him,
right.
And it was sold as this guy's going to play right tackle, even though there were people that thought he should be playing guard.
Yeah.
So it seems like too quick to pull the plug. It's a rookie season. He's only five games in.
Right. I wouldn't want to pull the plug permanently.
Right, in the long term.
So moving Dawkins over there kind of is doing that. It's not an idea that I'm really fond of trying. I was just curious. It's interesting to me. I think a little bit of it, Joe, is that we're just so used to complaining about the offensive line that
right.
just, hey, there's a famous left tackle that isn't playing. We should go get him because our line obviously could use him. Like, I don't know. I think our guy is pretty good and cheap, and that's a pretty good combination. So, all right, appreciate the call. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Again, those are the numbers. We're talking some football now. Rob Ray is coming up at 4. More football at 4:30 with our buddy Chris Trapasso from CBS Sports. And then Paul Hamilton will be here at 5. Sabre GM Jason Bottrell at 5:30. Pregame at 6. I mean, it's all a long way off. But you say it like that, it seems like it's all just coming right on top of us, right? Anyway, all right, I'll take a timeout. We'll squeeze in some more calls before Rob Ray shows up and ruins everything. I am the Bulldog. We're live at 716 today. Mike Chope has the day off. This is WGR.
It's kind of a season's worth and all happened in one game. So, you know, a couple of big plays for us on the block punt, on the fumble, scoop and score by Kyle. Those are, great. Great plays, and took advantage of those opportunities.
That is Patriots coach Bill Belichick. The Patriots beat the woefully undermanned New York Giants and covered the spread. It was for a little while there yesterday, right? The tie game on that long fumble recovery touchdown. But Patriots took the lead before the half ended and then just, took care of business in the second half and ended up winning by 21. That was your Thursday night football game last night. 803-0550, 1-888-550, 2550. Those are the numbers. John is next up. Hi, John. Thanks for calling. You're on the air here at WGR.
Hey, man. Just call to see if, what you thought about late season games being flexed. I'm going to the game in Pittsburgh. I'm pretty psyched about that. I hope we show up like we did in Tennessee. Or are they going to flex, do you think, any of them? Or Patriots game? What are your thoughts?
Well, the Patriot game, thank you, John. I've not, like, looked ahead here at any other possibilities, although, you know, the Bills have this year, the year they're having keeps going. This will probably be something that we will sort of re-familiarize ourselves with talking about. Are we to the flex? I think after this week is when flex games become eligible to be flexed. I don't think at the beginning of the year they can do that, but once you get into the season, there is a point in time where they start making games available to do that. I'm not positive when that window opens, but the week 16 game at Foxborough is already in a spot where it could. Right now, if you look at the schedule, there is no time and date for that game. And the reason for that is that it is a game that is eligible to be played in one of the three Saturday windows. That weekend in the NFL, they will have a 1 o'clock, 4 o'clock, and an 8:30, I guess it is, game. And, you know, they want to leave open the possibility. They want to get the best games in there. And, you know, I was saying yesterday that if the Bills have, you know, what, 9 wins by then? 10 wins? Who knows, right? What kind of year? Let's dream. Let's say that they're sitting at with 10 wins already. 10-4 is their record going into Foxborough. And New England is having their regular year, right? Maybe they're a game ahead. Maybe they're more than that. I don't know. But they're having a regular New England kind of year. That game has got Saturday night window written all over it to me. You know, you got to get there. You got to get to the point where they make the decision on where that game is going to be. Looking like that game could be, you know, impactful in the AFC East, and in a scenario where you're a game back of them, like that definitely qualifies. So, I think that's an idea. But sure, there are other games that the Bills have scheduled. Everything else is 1 o'clock Sunday except for Thanksgiving in Dallas. So. Once the window opens for games to start getting flexed, you know, I don't know about the Pittsburgh game because Pittsburgh probably isn't going to meet the criteria for this. Normally they do, but, you know, their quarterback is hurt, and if they have the kind of year you probably should have when your stud Hall of Fame quarterback gets hurt, I don't think the Steelers will meet the criteria for getting flexed. That'd be funny, wouldn't it? I'm sitting here telling you the Bills would outrank the Steelers in that regard. And, I think that's very possible the way this year is going so far. Thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate, thinking about flexing games into primetime. It's another thing that comes with your team having a good year, and so far so good for the Bills. We'll shift gears and start focusing on the Sabres, who are also off to a very nice start, 3-0-1 so far through four games. They host the Florida Panthers tonight. Rob Ray is going to be here for his game day visit at 7:16, so stay tuned for that. Mike Schoep has the day off. I am the Bulldog, and this is WGR.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.